Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. So today we're answering the question, my teenager wants to date, what counsel can you give regarding whether or when this is appropriate?
All right. Now, this is a bit of a follow-up to a question that we answered a while back regarding what to do when a teen crosses a sexual boundary with a boyfriend or girlfriend. And so with this question, we're trying to get ahead of that issue a bit by talking about whether it's appropriate for teens to date or when it's appropriate for them to date, how to decide that, and maybe what boundaries to put in place. So that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, we need to start by saying that this is a wisdom issue.
It's a wisdom issue. What do we mean by that? Well, it means that there are no clear imperatives in Scripture on this issue that I'm aware of. There is no clear teaching in the Bible that says this is the appropriate way to go about finding a spouse, and this is not an appropriate way to go about finding a spouse. And where we don't have clear instruction in the Scriptures, we call those wisdom issues. It's areas of life where the Scriptures or God expects for us to just take principles, perhaps, that He's given us and make wise decisions. Hmm. So there are places in Scripture, obviously, where we're given very clear indications about what we should and shouldn't do in regard to marriage and relationships. For example, Scripture says that homosexual relationships are not okay. Well, that's not a wisdom issue at all. That's a very clear biblical issue. You don't need any wisdom at all. You just need to obey. Scripture also tells us that you should not be married to an unbeliever. You should not intentionally marry an unbeliever if you're a believer. That's 1 Corinthians 7. That's not a wisdom issue. You just obey the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. This is not that way, in my opinion. Now, some might say that the concept of dating itself, because it's absent from the Bible, we shouldn't even consider it. And folks who advocate that line of thinking may recommend something that has been called courting, which has a number of different flavors depending on who you talk to. Courting, depending on who's talking about it, can mean anything from like a modern-day arranged marriage to just very intentional dating. So not everybody means the same thing when they use that word. But generally, the debate is between should there be dating or should there be courting, and a lot of times the line is blurred between what those two things even are.
So what would you say to those who say dating isn't in the Scriptures, so it shouldn't be considered at all?
Well, I would say let's think about what is in the Scriptures and how we tend to use the Bible. You may hear folks say that courting is modeled in the Scriptures, but the courting that I'm aware of doesn't look at all like what I read about in the Old Testament. For example, in Genesis, in places where there's any detail at all about how a marriage came to be, you've got what amounts to arranged marriages frequently with close kinfolk. I don't see courting looking like that at all today. Other marriages in the Bible give no detail at all about how they came about. So there aren't a whole lot of people advocating today arranged marriages between cousins. So those who say we need to follow biblical patterns, I don't think that they're even doing that. And in the absence of any straightforward teaching on the subject in the Scriptures, it just seems to me that there's freedom here, and that certainly is the sense that I get from 1 Corinthians 7. That's the chapter where we would expect to find some direction on this issue of relationships and marriage. But it doesn't tell us how or when to find a mate. We could say it gives us a framework. The person that we marry needs to be a Christian who is unmarried and is of the opposite sex. That chapter just seems to say, just find somebody that's inside that box that you like and marry them. Mm-hmm. I mean, so the Bible, as it speaks to the issue of relationships and marriage, at least it seems to me, gives a whole lot of freedom. And within that freedom, it seems that we're just expected to make wise decisions. This really comes down to how you believe the scriptures should be handled. Observing patterns for living and basing our living on patterns in the Bible is a very subjective undertaking. I believe that where scripture doesn't give us direction, there's freedom. And we're left to then make wise decisions. Now, I will say this. There will be disagreement on whether it's ever appropriate for a teenager to date, and that's completely fine because this is a wisdom issue. There may be a lot of people listening to this who disagree with most of what I say, and we probably should expect that on a wisdom issue because there isn't clear-cut stuff in Scripture that tells us what to do. So I want to tell everybody listening, I'm okay with you disagreeing with me. I'm okay with that as well. So I'm just telling you what I think is wise, and if you disregard it completely, I will not get my feelings hurt at all. This is just these are my thoughts on what I believe is wise.
Good. So whether a teen should date will depend upon the maturity of the teen.
Yeah, so that's what I believe.
Greg Birdwell thought one.
That's Greg Birdwell thought number one. What is wise?
Yeah.
A teen may be able to date, may not. It just depends upon that individual. Having a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex is a privilege, like any other privilege, in a sense, in that it carries responsibility with it. You don't give responsibility to people who have shown themselves to be irresponsible in the past. They earn greater levels of privilege/responsibility. So questions that I would use to consider the maturity of a teen as I'm trying to answer this question about that individual is, are they responsible? When they're given privileges and responsibilities, how do they respond to that? Do they abuse them or not? Is that teen obedient and submissive to authority? Or is there constant pushing back against authority? If that's the case, I would say I probably would not give the teen the freedom to have a relationship like that. Are they respectful or are they disrespectful? Do they care about godliness? If you've got a teen who cares nothing about godliness, there's no way I would give them that privilege / responsibility. If they're not responsible, they're not submissive, not respectful, not pursuing godliness, I would not give them the privilege and responsibility of dating. Now, if they are all of those things, then I would consider it.
Yeah. So there may be value in training a teen in this area while they are still under your authority.
Yeah, I think there is value in training them, using this as a way to train them in relationships while they're under your authority. I watched a documentary a while back called Broke, and it was about the astronomical percentage of retired professional athletes who end up bankrupt. How does that happen? They make millions and millions of dollars and end up completely busted. How does that happen? Well, a large majority of them come from poor backgrounds. They never had money growing up, so they were never trained how to handle money as they were growing up. Then they find themselves at age 21 or 22 with millions of dollars coming in, and they have no idea how to manage it. Nobody trained them, so they just blow right through it. I believe the same thing can happen when we withhold all responsibility from our kids until they're adults. And I've seen this in the area of romantic relationships. I have seen people raised in Christian homes who were kept from having any kind of relationship with the opposite sex while they were growing up, and then they become adults with no restrictions, and they make all kinds of horrible mistakes. I mean, it's just very similar to giving $1 million to a 22-year-old who has never had a bank account.
But couldn't you train a child about relationships without letting them actually have one?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. You could do that. But I would say that is about as effective as training them to handle money without trusting them with any money, without actually letting them have one. You could think of this as something like on the job training with extremely close supervision. So without the privilege of having a relationship, all that training really is theoretical. Then once they hit the age when they can have a relationship, they're likely out from under your authority, and you don't have the ability to help them navigate things real time. You have no way to put any kind of boundaries around them, to help them make responsible decisions, to put fences between them and danger. It's kind of too late at that point. You just have to hope that things that you've said in the past made sense. So for the teen who is very responsible, obedient, trustworthy, pursuing godliness, I would allow it probably with close supervision and very tight guidelines in place.
What guidelines?
What guidelines? Well, I'd be very explicit about the kinds of places they could go, with whom they could go, and what kinds of affection they could engage in. So if it were me, I wouldn't allow them to ever be alone with someone of the opposite sex. Not alone at all.
Yeah.
That, and again, that's just a wisdom call. I'm a grown man, and if I were single, I wouldn't allow myself to be alone with someone of the opposite sex. So that's something that I think is wise, whether you're a teenager or you're grown. So that's one thing I would put in place. I just would not allow them to be alone. On that note, I would also be careful about who could chaperone them. They would either be with the family all the time or a family member who has some kind of authority over them. So, maybe a family member, a younger sibling or something, or even an older sibling who doesn't really have authority over them might not be the best person to chaperone them. Because we're assuming that this teen respects authority, well, that person chaperoning them doesn't necessarily have authority over them. So I personally would make sure that they're always they're either with the whole family or they're with a family member who has some kind of authority over them. What kinds of affection is a wisdom call to? I personally wouldn't allow kissing at all, and it's a wisdom call. Some people may disagree, but I think kissing is a prelude to sexuality, especially for males. I think it's super difficult to walk that back. I would just tell the teen that that's just not going to happen. We're not going to allow you to do that. With other things, holding hands, hugging, I would give kind of a framework to the teen and maybe talk through with them those things, help them make a wise decision. I would share with them that the less contact you have, the less physical contact you have with the other person, the better, because all physical contact is going to be progressive. You're going to want to progress. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to progress because of the supervision in place, so you'll just be frustrated. So just don't open that door and you won't be frustrated. But I wouldn't make every decision about that for them. I'd give them a framework for making a wise decision and help them think through it. But on those bigger things like kissing and stuff like that, I would just say that's not going to happen. Another thing, if at all possible, I would talk about all of this with the parents of the other teen. Just make sure that you're all on the same page, because if that other parent is unwilling to abide by your guidelines, it may either be a no-go or you just may not be able to let your teen go over to their house.
So when is it reasonable to let a teen date?
Okay. Once again, completely a judgment call, a wisdom call. The very earliest I would is probably 16, and that might be only if I knew the other person really well. So if I had a teenager that was dating somebody, if the person that they were interested in, I would need to know that person really well, probably, in order to allow something to happen at 16. But I would always want to keep in mind just how long of a time period there is until they're old enough to marry. The younger they are, the more strict the guidelines would need to be. And so kind of my framework for thinking of all of this is that as a parent, I'm trying to shepherd them toward making adult decisions, raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I'm not, as a parent, I'm not making every decision for my children every step of the way. You know, when my children were very, very young, I made almost every decision for them. as they got older, I trusted them with stuff. Now, with my older kids, I don't ever check to see that they've brushed their teeth. Right. I've got one that I need to do that with, because he's not ready for that, and he hasn't demonstrated a responsibility in that area.
Sure.
I think that way about everything, including relationships. So I'm just trying to train them to make wise decisions, and as they show wisdom and responsibility in one area, I, in my mind, raise them up to the next level and entrust them with other things while watching them, guiding them, trying to give them wise principles to guide their decision-making. And when they mess up, pulling them back from that, removing responsibility. So like if I were to give a teen the ability to date and then they crossed a boundary, crossed a guideline, I would not have any problem at all taking that privilege away. And they would know that up front too. So right. I would not present this to them as, this is life now and you enjoy it. But
right.
No, this is something that can be taken away, just like every other privilege that you've ever had in your life.
Right. Let me end with a question.
Sure.
You've already answered it, but is it okay if people disagree with you on this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can disagree with me. You can disagree with me on biblical things, as long as it's not the gospel. We'll have a problem there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts, Greg.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.